Such a nice day.
It is. Okay. We are recording. My name is Hope Johnston Holm. I am here with Lucy Lee. The date is October 3rd, 2020. The time is 3:55 p.m. We are in the library downtown. Lucy, I want to briefly review the informed consent and deed of gift document that you signed for the COVID-19 oral history project for the Journal of the Plague Year COVID-19 archive. It's a rapid response oral history archive to focus on lived experience during this epidemic so that professional researchers and the broader public can create and upload their oral histories to the open source, open access database. This study helps us collect narratives, understandings about COVID-19. Recordings, demographic information, and verbatim transcripts will be deposited in JOTP and Indiana University Library System for the general public and researchers. Do you have any questions about the project?
No.
No? Okay. This is a voluntary thing, taking part in the study. You don't have to take part. You can leave. Just walk out on me anytime. There will be no penalty or loss of benefits. And this will not affect your current or future relations with Indiana University. So you can leave and you'll be fine. So participation means interview will be recorded in audio format and may be transcribed. It will be transcribed. Copies of transcriptions will be available to researchers and general public, and your name and other means of identification will not be confidential. Any questions about that? Okay. So besides the signed document, can you give me a verbal confirmation that you understand and agree to the terms that your interview will be made available under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License, and that the COVID-19 Oral History Project has terms of fair use under U.S. Copyright Law Section 107 of the U.S. Copyright Act?
I understand and agree to all of those terms.
All of them. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much for agreeing. Okay. So we can start the interview. So just go through background questions first. What is the date and time?
Today is October 3rd, 2020, 3:57 p.m.
Good job. What is your name, and what are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis? For example, your job, your extracurricular activities, etc. Anything that you find important?
My name is Lucy Lee. I'm a full-time student at the University of Cincinnati, and I work part-time at an insurance company.
Cool. What are the things you do on like a day-to-day basis that is involved with your different roles as a student and a worker?
I do work from home. I go to school from home. All of my classes are remote instruction. I go grocery shopping. I go outside to the park to leave my house. I spend time with people virtually through FaceTime, and also in person and socially distance. Yep.
Where do you live and what is it like to live there?
I live in the Camp Washington neighborhood, Cincinnati. Because I live close to a main street, Coleraine Avenue, it's very noisy. There are constant sirens and chatter and cars and people. It's an urban environment. But I enjoy it.
When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it, and how have your thoughts changed since then at the beginning of the pandemic?
At the beginning, I was extremely paranoid and anxious about things like grocery shopping and leaving the house, leaving the apartment. Do anything. I was scared of hanging out with people, even socially distanced. I was scared of any activity that involved people and strangers. But now, I've more or less gotten used to the state of things. I have a ritual of cleaning that I do every time I come back to my place. I've realized that I need more in-person interaction than I thought that I needed at the beginning. So I've been carefully hanging out with people and just accepting that I need to live a little bit during this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a process of like figuring out how to live now and how to still make a life that's enjoyable and full.
Yeah.
Yeah. You described like a ritual of cleaning. What does that look like for you and how did you arrive at it?
So it usually happens after I return from the grocery store. I'll wash the produce in the sink. I'll wipe down like materials like egg cartons and like drink containers and like hard non-porous surfaces, or I'll also wash those, but for surfaces that are more porous, I'll wipe them down with like antibacterial, antiviral wipes. I always, of course, wash my hands for at least 20 seconds scrubbing with soap. I will remove my mask carefully and fold it so that the clean side is out, slip it into a plastic bag, leave it open so it can get some air, and place it right next to the door for the next time I leave the house. I will clean my car keys maybe like every couple of days or so. I will also clean the inside of my car using wipes every couple of days or so. And then I now clean more frequently, just my apartment in general, because of the importance of cleanliness during this time.
What issues have concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic? Like a lot of, we've talked about how a lot of issues intersect and sort of build off each other, but are there any like issues that come to the forefront of your mind as concerning right now?
I think the state of the economy, I shudder to think how people my age are going to fare financially in the coming years because of this event. I also know that, I understand that people without, you know, income security or any, people who are lower income are much more disproportionately affected by this event. As a student, I'm pretty low income, even though, you know, I have my family. I know that I can ask them for help if I ever need it. But I, for reasons, I'm hesitant to do that. So I feel burdened financially right now. Yeah, those are the things that I can think of right now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense with everything that's going on to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So next topic genre, employment. Has COVID-19 affected your job and in what ways?
So over the summer, I started at the insurance company as an intern doing marketing work. Initially, before the pandemic hit, it was supposed to be in person, but then it was moved to remote. There was a learning curve at the beginning in learning the ins and outs of the job without that hands-on in-person interaction with coworkers and with, you know, material right in front of me, reference material right in front of me. But I've gotten used to that because many other things like school were also moved to remote. So yeah, I think everything being moved to remote, that's the most significant impact of this pandemic in terms of work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any like interpersonal things with your job moving to remoteness that have like affected you? Yeah, I know you mentioned like Zoom calls.
So it's been an interesting work experience so far because I've not met any of my coworkers in person yet. We've mainly communicated through emails, audio calls, and then one time we all appeared on video, and that was the first time I actually saw them in the virtual flesh. So I feel the major difference between this job and other jobs before the pandemic is that I don't have that. It's a different kind of like connection with coworkers. It's much more business oriented because even though we, like at the beginning of audio calls, sometimes we'll try to make small talk. There isn't that in-person connection that, you know, you can't see their body language. There's not additional information to take in and connect to that you would have in an in-person work environment. So that has made these coworker relationships, I think, much more cooled. Not necessarily in a bad way, but just there's less small talk and less knowledge about them outside of work in general. Mm-hmm. You don't get the whole package.
Yeah. I know that phenomenon of like Zoom happy hours with your coworkers is sort of a pre like beginning of pandemic thing. It kind of has tapered off by now. Yeah. Has COVID-19 changed your employment status in any way?
No. Mm-hmm. I've been able to maintain this employment, luckily. Mm-hmm. Grateful for that.
Have you felt any like tension with keeping it? Has it been like difficult doing work or like completing things that you would keep your job?
So I think just generally with how monotonous things can seem at times, it's been hard to accomplish daily tasks, including work stuff. I think if I were to go in physically to the office, it would be much easier for me to finish things because there is that space that's specifically dedicated for work. But when you're at home, sleeping in the same space where you do work and also go to school and also trying to have fun, it can feel like you have less of a work-life-school balance because it's hard to separate your mind from when you should be working or when you should be relaxing. It's very much like a psychological relationship between among like works and space, honestly. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. I've heard that from a lot of people, just talking about it. What concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment and the economy more broadly? You kind of touched on it earlier about how it can affect our generation more long-term. Mm-hmm. Do you want to expand upon that with your own employment history or your status? Do you have any concerns? You don't have to have concerns. You're like, I got this job.
I know for myself, since I don't necessarily want to work in insurance long term. However, I know that the insurance industry is looking for young people in general. They're scrambling for young people. So I know in the near future, if I'm not able to create the kind of career I want immediately, I can always just rely on insurance to make a living. Ultimately, I would love to go back to working for nonprofits, but in a more tech capacity. But I don't since nonprofits have never really had that kind of funding, and I don't imagine, especially now, like years from now, I don't think they're going to get any better about that. I know that trying to have people see the value of my work and pay me accordingly will be difficult. So yeah.
Has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the employment of any people you know, and in how, in what ways?
I have a friend who works at the Jack Casino downtown. During the pandemic, they were laid off when the casino was closed, and they received unemployment. I think once the casino opened back up again, they had to start back at work immediately, and they constantly told me of the stress and the anxiety that they were feeling. Being back in an environment where it's largely uncontrolled because there's so many people, it's a pretty chaotic environment, a casino. And they constantly told me of clients who refused to wear masks, and also workers who didn't wear masks, and I felt for them. I know other people who have been in the same boat, grocery store employees, and also people who've lost their jobs and had to work at like restaurants and grocery stores, places like that, and the amount of anxiety that comes with working in that environment where you're interacting with the public.
So the next genre of questions, family and household. Okay. How has COVID-19 affected you and your family's day-to-day activities?
So my parents, they work from home currently. Well, my dad, he spends 2 weeks at home and then 2 weeks at his work. My mom, she does telehealth at home. I think once in a while she'll have to go in the office for maybe a couple of days, but then she and her colleagues take turns for that. So I think that they're relatively safe. They also live out in the suburbs, where it's less populated. So I think my family is pretty safe. My mom's also a medical doctor, so she understands how to keep safe. And if one of them were to get COVID, how to go about taking care of themselves. My brother, he lives in Clifton with, I think, two or three other roommates, so it's a less controlled environment. So sometimes I worry for him, but I know that he's pretty careful, sometimes humorously overly careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does he work as well as
he's having a full-time team? He's a full-time student. He is not working. He sometimes, I think he has two classes that are in person. The rest are remote, so he's been able to reduce his risk that way. But it's very scary to think that if one person in that household has it, or even in that apartment building has it, it's basically like it's inevitable that he will get it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you managing day-to-day activities in your household?
So oftentimes the night before, I'll create a to-do list and set a schedule, a timetable of when I should get things done. And I try to be as specific as possible, so I know exactly what it is I need to do. And that has been allowing me to be more accountable with myself. But it's hard, because I live alone and there's nobody else who, you know, is going to hold me to anything. And if I'm having a bad day, or a bad couple of days, sometimes it's very easy to like spiral and just like not do anything. And of course I can always reach out to, you know, friends and my brother virtually. It's very different when you're living alone. I wished I lived with another person, but I know that, or I had a roommate, but, ultimately, I recognize that, living alone allows me to control my environment, to reduce risk. So, yeah.
What was it like moving during a pandemic?
There was a lot of paranoia involved.
When was it that you moved? Was it towards the beginning? Or
this was in August.
Oh, okay.
I was very serious about cleaning the apartment before I moved in. These people came in to help me install my window AC unit, they weren't wearing masks, and I thought that it would be okay because it was during a brief period of time, and also I was wearing a mask. But at the end of that interaction, I felt that I should have asked them to wear masks because we were indoors. So I was a little bit worried about that. And so I didn't enter that room, or didn't spend a lot of time in that room for like several days, to like wait for the, to wait for the COVID, to die, I guess. But yeah, there was a lot of anxiety around cleaning.
So we talked earlier about COVID-19 affecting how you associate with friends and family through Zoom meetings. You had said that you had wanted to prioritize like in-person meetings, and you were doing that like as carefully as possible. Could you like elaborate on how you talk to friends and family and how you like get that social interaction that we need?
So at the beginning of the pandemic, I relied on FaceTime and social media and virtual stuff. But after a while, I realized that this was going to be a long-term thing, and I should find ways to enjoy my life while at the same time being cautious. Plus it was taking a toll. So I think, it's all been socially distanced hangouts with people. We will go outside to the park. Rarely anything indoors. We've only hung out in outdoor spaces like parks with masks.
A lot of park hangouts this summer.
Yeah.
Many, many park hangouts. So this is a general question. What have been the biggest challenges that you have faced during the Family19 outbreak? And you can break it down, be like emotional and mental, or like that social interaction need, or maybe the toll that like cleaning, or really any challenge that you affect.
I would say mental health, because oftentimes it can be hard to find things to look forward to. So what has helped has been trying to find small things to appreciate. I thought that working from home would be, like at the beginning, I was okay with it because it meant that I didn't have to spend more money on gas and more time commuting. And it was also a little bit less pressure starting the internship and being able to do things from the comfort of my home. But after a while, I started experiencing the negative effects of not having that like work-life space work-life balance, where I could designate a space to do work, and just like when I leave the office for a day, I don't have to think about this. And that lack of balance has also crept into schoolwork. And work, and both of those things have affected my, the lack of balance in my life in general, I think, with responsibilities, since those are two major responsibilities. You know, that lack of balance and being in my house for very long periods of time by myself, those things have contributed to, I think, and not being able to do activities that I used to do, and also the cancellation for I, that was, it made sense, but it was disappointing. I think those things have made living a little bit more difficult.
Thanks for your honesty.
Uh-huh.
Are there any things that you, your family, and friends have done for recreation during COVID-19? Shows, games, books, other kind of entertainment that has occupied your time?
Lots of going outside with friends.
Do you do any sports or things when you're outside, or?
Walking in nature. It's mm-hmm. really been the top thing. I've been more intentionally going out to exploring the Cincinnati parks with friends. I know a lot of people who've gotten into puzzles and reading, and those are also things that I've been trying to get into, but with the lack of balance in my life, it can be hard to make time for those things. But that's what I wish to be doing in the near future, I hope, or I hope to make more time for those things. Mm-hmm. Especially as winter comes and there's less of, there's not going to be the opportunity to be constantly outside. Like, you have to find an indoor hobby to take up, maybe like knitting.
I'm excited for all of these scarves and hats you're going to be making. Moving on to the community genre. Thinking through like the many different communities that you're involved in, whether it's school, club, church, job, ethnicity, how has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community? Communities, plural.
So of course, I'm a part of the student community. I think many students have been similarly impacted, and that they're disappointed that things are online. Or some students, they might have, like, this was their first year of college and they didn't have that typical college experience, and I feel for that. And I think most students are just feeling anxiety in general about trying to get a job after graduating. I feel that. I think I'm also a part of the LGBTQ community, and I know that us as a community, we're more disposed to depression and anxiety. And I know, like, our communities also, more frequently less income and have less access to institutional help and assistance. And so, even though I am, you know, safely housed and I have reliable employment, I know a lot of people who don't have those things, and they've had to move back home to their families, where their identities aren't respected, and that's very heartbreaking. I know a lot of people who are in that situation. I also know, like, as a person who is a tail end millennial and like in between millennials and zoomers, there's like a certain nihilistic humor that we all have because so much has happened during this year, and you like commonly see this on social media through like memes where people will they cope by creating these memes, and that's something that I connect with. Yeah, I think memes are really effective at memes. They mean something for sure, and especially now they're effective at coping with trauma, communicating trauma, and creating content that is relevant. And this is an experience that we're all going through, so
it's interesting to see something that's like so internet based and can be laughed at so much, but actually like you said, like transmit trauma information and like help people with that.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. It's new. Have you seen the people around you change their opinions, day-to-day activities, or relationships in response to the pandemic?
So I've seen a lot of people, like myself included, stopped hanging out with people at the beginning because it was too risky. I think in terms of maintaining relationships, there was also a shift to virtual platforms when we couldn't hang out in person. So that was like the most significant shift in relationships at the beginning. But now for a lot of people, and myself included, we found ways to, we've convinced ourselves that hanging out in person with folks, those benefits outweigh continued virtual communication and the threat of coronavirus. Yeah.
There's a tension between like taking care of your mental health versus taking care of your more physical with COVID. Yeah, that's definitely appeared in the news a lot about those tensions. Do you think like how we balance those tensions are gonna change as we head into winter, and there's going to be less, like you said, less opportunity to be outside to do that physical social interaction?
I think we'll find ways to continue to connect with people. I know that like hanging outside will still be an option, but it's not going to be as easy to do. I don't know how we'll handle it. Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll see.
So the two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic are self-isolation and flattening the curve. How have you and your friends and family and communities, how do you respond to like that phrasing of those ideas and to like the medical requests for self-isolation and flattening the curve?
I and all the people that I associate with, we wear masks. We take social distancing seriously. Yeah.
So the language isn't off-putting at all?
No. I don't view the language as off-putting, view it as necessary and to ensure public health.
Mm. Have you or anybody you've known gotten sick during the COVID-19 outbreak? And what has been your experience in responding to that sickness?
So no one I know personally has gotten COVID. I know of someone, I know of an acquaintance, like I've never met this person, they're on social media, my friend is friends with them, and I've been able to see their struggles, especially since they're immunocompromised and they have other health issues going on. So they were one of the most vulnerable. So I was genuinely scared for them. After, you know, like seeing the updates that they would post on social media, begging people to take COVID seriously, because look what I'm going through right now.
I know with social media, like, we largely have access to these people. It's like people will never meet, people like around the world's stories that they can like update us on, and it's very personal. Has there been like a toll on you for seeing these people's stories? I know I've read on Twitter like dozens of people's personal experiences with COVID or the after effects of COVID or just regular sickness during this pandemic, and sometimes that can have a toll on people. How's it for you?
I think if I'm reading the news headlines religiously, like without a break, yes, I can get depressed about like the state of things, not just related to COVID. But I've been careful about how much social media I consume and the type of accounts I follow on social media. I only really use Instagram. And sometimes when I get overwhelmed, I just delete the app for like a couple of days. Yeah.
Has that like social media management like changed over the course of the pandemic, or is that how you were like pre-pandemic?
I think that's how I was pre-pandemic. I think if anything, social media before I was hanging out with people in person, that was my main form of social interaction. So that has helped me a lot. Yeah.
Do you think COVID-19 has had like a larger effect on people's mental and physical health?
Like which one has been more impacted, mental or physical health?
Like on a larger scale, do you think there will be like a lasting effect of this time on people's mental or physical health? Or do you think like there has been effect in general?
I definitely think that there will be a lasting impact on people's physical and mental health, apart from the long-term health impacts of getting COVID, like breathing troubles and increased risk of like blood clots and all those things. Besides those physical impacts, I also know that like it's a very traumatic time for a lot of people. And also because COVID has been deeply intertwined with politics, there's gonna be a lot of social trauma and social distrust and distaste for certain groups of people. Yeah.
So moving on to the information section, what have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
I receive a daily New York Times email update with the latest news, so I'll read that in the morning sometimes. And then constantly on social media, people are posting about the latest events. So I look on social media for that as well. And sometimes Reddit, the news front page. Yeah.
Have your news sources changed during the course of the pandemic at all?
So I've only started I subscribe to the New York Times daily notification during the pandemic, and the reason why I did that was because I didn't want to go out to seek the news. I wanted to be delivered to me in like a bullet point format of the most important things. I didn't want to get more than I needed or wanted. So that has been convenient for me. I don't have to spend extra energy and labor, emotional labor, to like digest all the other noise out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you get like, are there differences in media platforms where you get like your national, global, local news, like a difference between those three?
So I think sometimes I'll go to PBS or NPR to get, like, I guess if I'm in the car, I think for both national, international, I think BBC, it's good for international. I think New York Times is okay for, I think, all. And then local news, usually I hear from friends and word of mouth about things that are happening.
Do you think there are, what do you think are important issues that the media maybe is or is not covering during this time? Or what are some issues that you see are being unreported on more often right now? Or issues that you would like to be more reported on right now?
I think with the Black Lives Matter protests, media likes to focus on the protests with the most, violence and chaos. But in reality, it's still happening today. Like, people are peacefully protesting. But that's just like the nature of, you know, the news cycle. They have to focus on like the most sensational things. That's really it, I think.
So focusing on government, how have local city leaders and government officials in our community responded to the outbreak in Cincinnati and in Ohio?
So, I think her name was Amy Acton. I think she did a pretty good job at the beginning in terms of quickly mandating the closure of bars and gyms and being very quick to act in informing people that they needed to wear masks. I was pleasantly surprised with the government's administration. I don't believe there's a mask mandate in Cincinnati.
Would you want one?
That would be very helpful.
Are there any specific instances of like places you go or want to go where you would like change how our leaders have responded to the crisis?
I don't go to very many places besides like the grocery store and like outside areas, but I don't. I don't believe that bars should be open at this time. I also don't believe schools should be open.
Do you mean in person or online or
in person schools? Mm-hmm. I think online, like, that's adequate for now. Like, that has to be done. Definitely not bars. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Last two questions. Has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and community in any way?
I've come to realize that people very resilient and or I always knew that, but especially during this time, I've seen how so many people have, like, they're surviving. Friends, the friend who works at the casino, they're trying their hardest to get by, and they're able to do that with the support of their friends. I think what's been happening has led me to embrace the fact that we, with the help of our communities, we can all be more likely to make it and have more resilience.
Knowing what you know now of the knowledge you've gotten through the pandemic, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments should keep in mind for the future?
Repeat that question, please.
Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments should keep in mind for the future?
I think the most important thing is to separate public health and politics. That's one of the main things.
So wrapping up the interview, is there anything else that you'd like to add about your experience that you feel would be useful for the future for researchers and the public to know or understand about your lived experience during this time?
Not really.
Okay.
I can't think of anything right now. It's a good question, though. I would need more time to think, but that's not really.
You can take some time now if you want to think. I don't mind. And it doesn't have to be. You've covered a lot.
I think this is not necessarily just related to my lived experience. I think a lot of people can relate to this, but I think this has changed the way that we all relate to each other. I've talked to a lot of people who've said that they're much more intentional now about the people that they spend time with, because, like, logistically, that's how they reduce risk. And also, like, there's only, like, I think this crisis has forced people to prioritize what's important. And the relationships that we have is one of those things, because we have limited energy to dedicate, since things are so taxing for a lot of people in day-to-day life. It'll be very interesting to look at the psychosocial impacts of this pandemic. Like, on both a micro level and also macro level, in terms of how different groups will view each other in years to come because of things that are happening now.
Cool. Well, thank you for your time, Lucy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
All right, end of recording.